KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 7:05, we have cloudy skies and 27 degrees. We look for it to be continued cloudy this morning. A chance of partly cloudy skies for this afternoon and a high right around 32. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. Firefighters from Oneida and Wyota, with assistance from Cumberland and Messina, were called to the scene of a large machine shed fire southeast of Wyota last night. The blaze at 71737 Jackson Road was reported around 9:20 p.m. A nearby residence was unoccupied when law enforcement arrived on the scene. Crews worked to protect the home from the flames, which were being blown in the direction of the house. Authorities say it appears the blaze started in the center of the building, which was completely destroyed, along with some pieces of farm machinery inside the structure. No injuries were reported. In addition to the area fire departments I mentioned, the Cass County Sheriff's Office and Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Cannon were on the scene of that blaze. The Riverside Community School District has reached a settlement with the parents of a teenager who died in a fiery school bus accident in rural Pottawatomie County a little more than 2 years ago. The lawsuit had been filed against the district in April of 2018 by Glenn and Natalie Clint, the parents of 16-year-old Megan Clint. The teen, along with the school bus driver, 74-year-old Donald Hendricks, died on December 12, 2017. An investigation determined the bus was southbound on 480th Street when Hendricks turned into a driveway to pick up Clint, his first passenger of the morning. As the bus backed out of the driveway, it became stuck in a ditch. As Hendricks attempted to move the bus out of the ditch, a fire started in the vehicle's engine compartment and spread into the passenger compartment. Both Hendricks and Clint were unable to escape the burning bus. Autopsies indicate both died of soot and smoke inhalation. In a statement on the district's website Friday, Riverside Superintendent Tim Mitchell said the district did not admit wrongdoing in reaching the settlement with the Clints. Mitchell added that the parties recognize that no amount of money can represent this loss. However, the district's sincere hope is that resolving this matter will assist the family and community in gaining closure for this devastating event. He said also the district will continue to focus on providing excellent educational services to its student body and ensuring the safety of students and staff. The Iowa Board of Education had a split 4-4 vote on Thursday, nullifying the Hamburg School District certification request, but Superintendent Mike Wells says it was still a positive meeting.
We had very good conversation, and they are considering a different model for education for small schools in Iowa. Sometimes you go in front of boards and you think it's just lip service. They don't really listen to you. This board really took the time, and we were only scheduled for 20 minutes. We were in there for an hour and a half.
Wells believes Hamburg had a solid plan to resurrect high school classes under a career academy format in which students would receive a certificate for special skills in addition to their high school diploma. Wells said the key to the plan is sharing instructors with Essex, where he is also the superintendent.
Finding certified staff is very difficult, and by being able to share a very high quality staff that Essex has for some of the programs, and we have some teachers that are certified at our current school for high school, that made the plan very viable. And without Essex, this doesn't work.
While saying that the board liked the career academy format, Wells says some members question Hamburg's projected enrollment numbers.
The numbers we presented to them was 25 students, not counting any kids from Sydney. That would be the number for year one of the program. We do have kids in each grade level. We have homeschool kids that would be coming. We know that number will be higher than that, but we wanted to be realistic, and we just assumed that those kids that are currently going to Sydney would stay there. So there was concerns with that.
Hamburg High School students are now attending classes in Sydney under a tuition-in agreement. Because one board member was absent from the meeting Thursday, the board set another meeting with Hamburg for its February meeting. Wells said the district will be better prepared for the second go-around next month.
We would have an actual schedule, what Hamburg's schedule will look like. We will meet with the Iowa Department of Education, and we'll go through to make sure we can meet, offer, and teach. We feel the plan we presented does that, but we want to make sure that when we get to that meeting, there are no red flags from the Iowa Department of Education.
State Education Board officials rejected Hamburg's first certification request late last March, right during the Missouri River flooding that swamped out most of the community of Hamburg. Iowa lawmakers picked off the 2020 session this week, and Iowa's already school funding has become a key topic. The state has increased spending for K-12 students in recent years, but education advocates are convinced the state leaders could be doing more. The past few school funding increases have been between 1 and 2%. Rourke Horn, an executive director of the School Administrators of Iowa, says people in charge of the school districts are telling him that isn't enough to keep up with their annual costs.
You think about the increase in health insurance costs would be an example. Those are not something districts can necessarily contain.
Horn's group is asking for a 3.75% increase in state funding to help with those rising expenses. In a statement, Governor Kim Reynolds said she'll propose a 2.5% hike, but declined to say whether she'd endorse anything beyond that amount. She says her increase builds on historic investments in K-12 funding, but those who want to see more school spending say that can be misleading since recent hikes don't match with inflation. Horn says the school administrators realize that what the governor is proposing is a larger increase than what they've seen in recent years, but they still feel they owe it to students and parents to ask for more.
It's really not enough to be able to provide the education that I think Iowans expect out of their schools.
After accounting for salaries, he adds most districts only have about 20% of their funds left to deal with the extra but important costs such as health insurance and facilities. He says cutting into salaries, which are negotiated, is hard because they want to attract quality teachers. And Iowa's public schools saw an increase in students and teachers in the last year. Iowa Department of Education spokesman Jay Pennington says the latest Condition of Education report shows an increase of nearly 1,400 students.
This is the eighth consecutive increase in student enrollment after about a 17-year decline. So it's nice to see continued sustained growth in our schools.
There were 487,652 students in the school system in the last year, and Pennington says the increase is similar to the population growth of the state as a whole.
Other places are growing at faster rates, but I think it's definitely good for Iowa schools to see sustained continued growth.
He says that growth has included an increase in another area.
While we're seeing overall growth in the student population, we're also seeing more and more diversity in our schools. So in the most recent year, we have just under 25%, or 1 in 4 students in Iowa schools, is now a student of color.
The percent of students whose native language is not English is 6.5%, up from 6.1% the year before. Pennington said the state also has more teachers, an upward trend that started in 2001.
We've seen about an addition of 3,700 teachers over that period of time. We've also seen a significant increase in the average salary of educators. So I think, two really good pieces of data from the most recent report.
The 37,386 full-time teachers in public schools in the last year compares to 33,610 in the 2000 to 2001 year. The average salary is now $57,463. That ranks Iowa 21st in the nation for average salary compared to the 22nd the year before. Pennington says there are a lot of good numbers in the report, including an increase in the number of students taking higher level mathematics, including calculus, statistics, and trigonometry courses. But he says there's still a lot of area for improvement.
With the most recent data, we know that for the class of 2019, 33% of students took physics. And while that is an all-time high, we know that there's still 66% of students that are not taking that key course within high school. So lots of highlights, but also areas that we can improve.
Report says the amount of state money spent on each student went up by $333 to $10,536. That ranks the state per pupil expense 30th in the nation, ahead of the other nearby states of Indiana, Kansas, Missouri, Michigan, and South Dakota. You can see the full report on the Iowa Department of Education's website. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Roberta Rash, age 89, of Bridgewater, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Roberta Rash will be today at 10 o'clock at Bridgewater United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Arlene Robb, age 94, of Audubon, died November 11th. A celebration of life memorial service for Arlene Robb will be held today at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. Donna Heppner, age 74, of Hancock, died Monday in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Donna Heppner will be today at 11 a.m. at Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home of Avoca has arrangements. Donna McLaren, age 92, of Atlantic and formerly of the Cumberland-Messina areas, died December 22nd. A celebration of life memorial service for Donna McLaren will be today at 11 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Bernice Meyer, age 94, of Exira, died January 14th. A celebration of life memorial service for Bernice Meyer will be today at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Norma Richter, age 91, of Adair, died January 16th. Services for Norma Richter will be held tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Adair. Evelyn Sickles Purdy, age 89, of Fontenelle, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Evelyn Purdy will be on Tuesday at 10 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has arrangements. Kevin Pizza Bauer, age 61, of Manning, died Thursday in Manning. A massive Christian burial for Kevin Pizza Bauer will be held Wednesday at 11 o'clock at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home of Manning has arrangements. Carol K. Anderson, age 81, of Audubon, died Wednesday in Carroll. Per her request, cremation has taken place and there will be no formal services for Carol Anderson. Auchenberry Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. And Alice Anstey, age 97, of Cumberland, died Friday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Services for Alice Anstey are pending at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a check of the news. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.